that, that is some of your sounding as if they don't need to see.
Do we need this? Do we need this? Can you hear me there at the back?
Yeah,
we can hear you. No, I am moving. I am. It's just,
can you hear? This is an echo. It doesn't sound good. Can I sound as if we are?
You all agree this thing sounds very funny. Yeah. I am moving down to Honorable Sebran. There's no fighting going on today. It's a workshop. Welcome back, Honorable Members.
I'm a peaceful man.
Yes, no. Honorable Members, I hope that the constituents' experience found you well. That you could interact with your constituency, even though the events of the past few weeks were quite disturbing. We did respond accordingly. We sent you the press statement. Just to let you know, it wasn't just press statements that we sent. We interacted with the minister and with the police. So there was a lot of work that was being done behind the scenes. I also want to just thank the WOP. Welcome back, Honorable WOP. Because he was also assisting and working behind the scenes to sort out some of the things. Members were also very active, and you know, it's very good if we get responses and we know that all our members are online and that we on board with what things happen. I'm not the kind of person who likes to do things on my own. I want to have an inclusive decision and discussion. Honorable members, during the last session, we primarily dealt with the budgets and the different votes. But I do believe that with the events that have happened, it gives us more clarity in certain instances on what is happening in the police. The last period, they were giving us presentations. We asked questions based on our general experience. But since the constituency senior says, of pertinent questions we need to start asking. You know, the immediate question which comes to mind is, do we have intelligence in this country? You know? And I don't want to say that we don't have, but those are questions we need to start asking. Before we do hand over, and mine is not going to be a long introductory, it's a welcoming to say welcome back, we have a lot of work done. My biggest concern, Honorable Members, is that there are so many outstanding matters. And that those outstanding matters are problematic. And they're catching up on us. So In the last session, we did not have time to go through the legacy report. I do propose that we look at the legacy report, because that will show you what the previous parliament did, but it will also give you an idea of the outstanding matters. Could I just get an indication of what the report is for? Because I don't mind the transparent and open meeting, but we need to be frank. I think we need a period for 2 days where we're not going to be party political. We don't have the opposition and party party. We're not committed. And we say we want to now exercise our oversight. Honorable WOP, with your permission, I say let us be honest. And let us give a clear picture of what we understand the weaknesses to be and what we would like to see happening. Concerns furthermore would be that for now our priorities have to be spelled out. We need a list of priorities with time frames. We presented in your file the draft program. We hope that you could see the draft program and that you could approve the draft program today. I've indicated to joint oversight visit is on the 28th of August. We're going to Philippi and Overfall, Nyanga and Lao, where the army is deployed. I consulted you on the group to say if I could arrange such an oversight visit. You agreed that I do arrange it. I want to thank the staff who worked quite hard. We continue the work. I'm sure honorable members could see that the work continues, even though we were on constituency. I want to thank the staff who allowed me to arrest them. They came in on a Friday, they came in on odd hours, and I want to thank them for that. Okay? I am also happy to announce that we'll be having, you said it was a joint meeting, to address the matter of the
bonus.
No, to address the matter. If it is, So, honorable members, as you had requested, we have now secured a joint meeting with basic education, with finance, and with tourism. Remember, you asked for, during the budget hearing, you asked for joint meeting. So you could indicate today, you wanted a joint meeting with finance, it's been arranged, and it's part of the program. You will also indicate today if there are further joint meetings that we should arrange. I'm done with the program, I'm done with the handover, the legacy report. The legislation that we want, key areas of legislation, we'll deal with that in the workshop. Your parties have been having, all your different political parties have been having workshops for members. So I do believe that we come with particular mandates that your parties have given you. In conclusion, I want you to look at the oversight visit that we are going to have, and if you would like to recommend further oversight visits. The one that, as I said to you, is Western Cape. I also had an idea that we may have to go to Gauteng. That is only a suggestion. But you have to then, in the program, comment on further oversight visits that you would like to prioritize. Mine is not to take questions.
Okay. You agree? No, we decided we're not going to use it because there's an echo. You are testing. That sounds better now. That sounds better. Thank you very much. Thank you, ma'am. So mine is not to take questions or to take the problem. I think we could start immediately with the program. It's a workshop. So I'll share, but mine is more to engage and allow for discussion and allow for questions. Okay? group, Honorable Group.
Chair, on the program here of your presentation here on the number 1, 2, 3, 4, the grand oversight unit with the portfolio committee on the military
veteran.
I was not sure whether that it says military veteran.
Defense and military veterans. Yes, it's defense. Sorry for that thing. It's your oversight when it was defense and military veterans. Please correct it. Hey. Thank you. Whoops, it's the draft. Once we formalize it, we'll make that correction. If you are happy with that, could we start? Okay.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Good morning, honourable members. We thought as a staff that it is important that we just take members through, we're calling it an orientation workshop. We understand it was an induction workshop for members. But from our perspective in this portfolio, it's one of the more complex portfolios in Parliament. And myself, we'll just doing a short rundown on understanding the policing landscape, and then Nicolette, our researcher, will talk a bit about researching police budget. It's very, very critical. Copies for all the members?
No, we don't have
them.
I don't have them.
The new
this one here? Yeah. Okay.
So while we wait, while waiting for the additional copies, honourable members, after Nicolette has given her look at policing budget, we're going to look at the legacy and reports, and then we're going to ask the secretary, to talk to us about what is the ambit of their responsibility with administrative matters, how it's handled in the committee and so forth. These are all housekeeping matters. And then we go to Honourable Chair, look at our priorities. What we can only do priorities until the end of this financial year, until Parliament, we will understand the planning process in Parliament, until Parliament finalises its own strategic plan. And I think it's useful for the committee to already have a view of where it wants to go with the portfolio. And then in the afternoon, after lunch, we're going to have a brief discussion on the process for the appointment of the head of the Independent Police Investigative Director. So if I may just move on. The portfolio consists of three departments and one public entity in terms of the PFSA. We have the South African Police Services as a single department. We have the Independent Police Investigative Director. There is oversight over the Civilian Secretariat for Police Service, and there is the Private Security Industry and Regulatory Authority. That is a public entity. All the departments report to the Minister of Police. For the Metro Police, there is oversight, and it's held by a joint chiefs of the Metro Police Forum that meets regularly. Only when there are issues, Honourable Chairman.
Did we all have that presentation?
That's
in the file.
No,
I'm asking if you all have it. Okay. You happy?
Yes.
Thank you.
I didn't find
mine
yet.
Right in front.
Right in front. It's got a blank page. The
graphic one.
Yes, no. That's why we're asking if all members have it here. Okay.
No, that's not the PowerPoint, that's the key.
Where's the PowerPoint?
It should be right in front of the file.
There's no PowerPoint here.
It's got a blank page like this. Let's do it. Members
who have it.
No, there's another one. It should be in there. Mr. Robinson,
And this is in Q2.
No,
are we all having the PowerPoint now?
Yes.
All right. Could you continue, please?
Thank you, Chief. The Minister of Police has got oversight over all of those departments, and they report regularly to the Minister of Police, and then the Portfolio Committee has oversight over the executive, over the Minister and the departments. And that's a crucial thing in terms of our oversight model. Our mandate as Parliament in terms of Section 55 of the Constitution provides the Parliament and its committees to have oversight over the executive and any state organ. We might decide to call the Department of Forestry and Fisheries or Mining because there's illegal theft in terms. We've done that in the past, honourable members. Section 55A provides for the National Assembly or any of its committees to summon any person to appear before it, to give evidence on oath or affirmation, or to produce documents. And Section 56B provides for any person or institution to report it. So the committee has wide powers to call people to account, particularly in government. The mandate in terms of the rule is to monitor the financial and non-financial performance of government departments and their entities, to ensure that the national objectives are met, and then to process and pass legislation, and then to facilitate public participation in Parliament relating to the issues of oversight and legislation. And there's additional, when we do oversight, we also do study tours and arrange international visits. For SAP, I thought it be prudent just for the members to have a look if we move to the next slide. You must please stop me if I'm going too fast on a little bit, okay? Mm-hmm. I looked at their staff complement because there's a big fight in academic circles whether, in fact, more police officers and bigger budgets translate into better service delivery. So in 2018-19, there was 192,000 staff members of SAP. For 2019-20, in terms of the medium-term budget framework, 191,000 stays constant for the medium-term expenditure framework. If you remember, the minister has requested that we increase the numbers for SAP over the medium term, and they've made such an application. They informed the committee previously. And if you look at the budget of the police, that 93 billion 595 million. It's one of the biggest budgets in the criminal justice cluster. In fact, almost 50% of the JCPS cluster, that is justice, crime prevention, and security budget for home affairs, for correctional services, for justice, and for police. We almost, as the police portfolio, take up almost 50% of their budget. So it's quite huge. It will grow to 97 billion in 2019-20, and then to 104 billion in 2020-2021, and then in the outer year of the medium term framework, 2021-22, it will grow to 111 billion rand. Some countries don't even have this budget that the police have. Can I move on? Some of the key issues, and you'll find some of the key issues, I've tried to narrow it down and put key areas there as themes for the committee to look at. Most of it is in that sector analysis document. There are leadership issues in SAPS. There's always been leadership issues in SAPS. And the committee, Honourable Chair, has to keep that in hand, because what happens with the appointment of a new commissioner, always new people emerge to lead the institution. I think at the last count, Nicolette, just help me, the senior management, that is generals, major generals, and lieutenant generals. I think that figure has risen to about 45 within SAPS. We have a number of lieutenant generals as well. So we have to keep, in terms of the current legislation, it allows for the commissioner to appoint anyone and to promote anyone in terms of what's called Regulation 45. Now, the Act doesn't you can actually promote anybody to a senior, he or she, to a senior rank. And in the last parliament, it's something that we raised. We want the committee to be appraised of. There must be a proper advertising process. But remember, honourable members, the Act hasn't been changed yet. That Regulation 45 is still part of the old Police Act, the 1995 Act. And a key issue for members...
Remember in my input I said that there's a 1995 Act that hasn't been amended. Okay. That is one of our priorities. There's still a 1995 Act.
Which is
pre-constitution.
Yeah.
Remember, it was passed before the constitution, right?
Yes.
It was an interim constitution.
It was a time of the interim constitution. Okay.
Thank you, Honourable Chair. So that's a critical point. The because SAPS will get away with it every time if it's not fixed. And as the chairperson correctly said, we have to look at it. It brings us nicely to the second point there, the legislation. There are outstanding bills which must come in the priority or to be the SAPS Amendment Act, which will remedy most of the problems. This is more than, is it 15 years, Nicolette, in the making. The South African Police Service has never brought the legislation to Parliament. That legislation to review the South African Police Service Act. There's been bits and pieces in the Constitutional Court on the DPCI, if you remember. There was the Glenister judgment, so it's bits and pieces, and then obviously there was the IPED Constitutional Court judgment. We understand, Honourable Chair, that the SAP, the Civilian Secretary, is at the point now where they refer somebody to look at the SAPS Act, and I think they're ready to bring that to Parliament. In fact, it will go to Cabinet first. And once Cabinet has approved it, it will then come to the committee. But we do know that they will employ an expert to do this for them. And hopefully this committee will carry this act through Parliament, or amendment. Honourable Chair, then there's the Auditor General. We've had a close working relationship with the Auditor General because of the reports that it generates, and we've, in the last year of the last Parliament, held the departments to account for non-implementation of Auditor General recommendations. And by the way, Chief, there's been a request of the Auditor General also to brief this committee. And we propose that we normally do it annually four times, where the Auditor General briefs the committee on the financial health of each department. The procurement issues is big in SAPS. Remember, we're dealing with billions of rand for budget. One of the matters that's going to emerge at the SCOPA meeting today is this FDA forensic data analysis. And this is related to the rape kits, forensics within SAPS. I think that budget, that tender was worth 5 billion rand. And it's locked the SAPS into an agreement. And in this year, SAPS has lost the court case because SAPS took a decision not to pay that particular contract, and the court overturned that. So
it
that
was what was that contract?
FDA, for instance.
FDA.
Yeah. And so the committee, we're just flagging it that the committee must watch tenders that goes out on SAPS. The committee must make sure, because the Auditor General also flags that the procurement area is an area that we have to just take careful note of. The DPCI, if I may move on, Chair, there's been an issue that the previous committee has proposed that the Directorate of Priority Crimes Investigation be a separate a program item, a separate program within SAPS. Now, initially National Treasury, because it has to go through the route of National Treasury approving that, did not approve that it be a separate program. They said that the DPCI's budget must be specifically procured and must be ring-fenced. Now, that is the kind of status for the Director of the Priority Crimes Investigation. So that is something that the committee will have to look. We also have asked that the DPCI report separately when it does report to Parliament. And my colleagues must just come in if I'm missing out anything. then another key issue is specialized units and the creation of specialized units. The President has spoken about the family crimes against women and children as a priority. And so the creation of the FCS unit, the Family Violence, Child Protection, and Sexual Offences unit, that's what we call the FCS unit, that be rolled out into all the provinces that be made more effectively. SAPS has established more such units, and we must just monitor how they handle crimes against women and children. Then there's also this two unit that was formed that the WOC had set up. One was the alcohol and drug units. It's got a very, very long name, and so I'm looking to repeat it. I think it's in that sector analysis. SAPS was meant to start those units to look at drugs in particular and alcohol. And they've given reports, regular reports to the committee on how far they have pulled together the structure of those particular units. The last national unit that was formed was the anti-gang unit. There was a big fight in the last committee because when Honourable Chair, they started the anti-gang unit, they didn't call it the unit, they called it the task team. The document that they gave to the President in his speech spoke about an anti-gang unit and he launched an anti-gang unit. The document that SAPS gave to the President, the Minister rejected because he didn't pick up that SAPS had put in there that was task team. So
maybe
that has now been changed.
Must, also just come back to the two units that were sending out conflicting signals in
yes,
the Western Cape.
Chair, the previous commissioner started a unit after the gang unit was formed. It's called the Major Offences Reaction Team, MORT. And what it did was it drew detectives from the stations and lined that unit with over 300 or 400 people to manage the Major Offences Reaction Team. That caused major divisions in the Western Cape province amongst the detectives and the visible policing people and the gang unit people. Some gang unit members were shocked because they received instructions to go in, I think it was Kraaifontein, without the instruction of the superiors, and it caused a big rift. So I think 6 gang unit members were shot in that particular community. So that is an issue that has been raised. The MORT has not been disbanded, but I think the minister has now taken charge of it and is instructed that the gang unit is national. So I think that SAPS is moving into that particular direction. Financial management, Honourable Chair, the committee ought to sharpen its pencils with the financial management of SAPS. Because it's such a big department and it's dealing with so much money of the fiscus, we have to keep a close eye on the spending of SAPS and all the other departments, IPED, the Secretariat, the WOCs, and the Private Security Industry Regulatory Authority. Although we don't, CIRA, the Private Security Industry Regulatory Authority, does not function on monies appropriated by Parliament, from Parliament. They're still accountable to the committee at the Private Security Industry Authority. So we're just flagging that. And then there's the crime picture. Now, I think all the members here spoke earlier about the issues happening in our communities. And what appears to be a problem with SAPS at the moment is the public trust in the police. It's a big, big issue that people will not report crime if they don't have trust within SAPS. Mm-hmm. And it's something that I think this committee can really make one of its flagship programs to rebuild the trust within SAPS, because what has happened is that corruption has muddied the waters with the communities and SAPS so much so that people are not taking their cell phones into the charge offices
and taking pictures
and recording
their
interaction.
Yeah.
Actually, I'm not sure at this stage if it is legal. It's something that we must look at. But the public trust in SAPS and the ability to deal with crime is a big issue. And the concomitant issue is the level of violence that's been perpetrated, particularly in peripheral areas where there's very little policing. And I think that is something that the committee must just focus its attention on. I think some members have been very vocal about the disabled communities. There is a disjuncture, Chief. You see, in many of our communities, in the constituencies you come from, you have people that are willing to work with the police, right? They want to report crime. The police don't seem to have the ability to take that goodwill and turn it into something that can help them in the fight against crime. They have community police forums, but they're not dealing with it properly. They're not using the CPS properly. You have community patrollers, you have street committees, you have neighborhood watches. And the policies that are, and there are policies for in the white paper to make accommodation for that. It's just that SAPS don't seem to have, previously they had a strong community liaison section at national level. And I think that has disappeared over the years. And we must ask the question, is community policing still the correct model for our current policing? Does it work? Do the communities get necessary feedback? And is the police using the communities correctly that bring them the information? You asked, Chair, is there still intelligence? We can't understate that particular question. It's a really important question, because the communities are the biggest source of intelligence. And if that relationship between the community and the police is reworked, it can work very, very, very well. And there must always be a new partnership between the police and the community.
Sorry, honourable members, just to interrupt there, when I listen to all their presentations, and I also listen to the minister's budget speech and the deputy minister's budget speech, there was a strong emphasis on community police force.
Yeah.
But there's a complete breakdown in this juncture. The SAP said, and they place a lot of emphasis on community police. But the priority is community policing, but they don't work with the CPS. If you listen to the CPS, particularly in the Western Cape where there is a strong presence of CPS, they complain that they can't work with the police. But the police says they're working with them.
I think the involvement of police in the communities and crime, with regards to crime, where there are bright lights, you'll find that police would collect money and, you know, so there's a bit of corruption, so there would be that issue of trust, because they won't know whether to go to the police or to stay with the information, because there is no community where people do not have information. They do know who says what, who does what, but they can't go to the police because the police are involved in that corruption.
Before the other question, it's also to check on the regulations or the guidelines of the CPS, how they operate, because they don't have a uniform way of operating. So that's why the police cannot actually trust them, because they don't know whether they are there for them, but most of them they end up paying to run their jobs, you know, in the police. So we need to know what are the guidelines of their operations.
All the one stipend.
Yes.
Yeah.
But you have to have the guidelines to go to them and then see if they are uniform in all provinces and how do they choose the police, the community police in power. Because sometimes they are charged the very same gangster who listen to them with whatever plan and go and take it out.
Thank you.
This is a legal question. reports.
No, not just the
I think the issue of crime, we need to pay enough attention on it. Because if you speak about the community policing forum under a violent society, and those people would only end up being a structure that reports to the police, but will never deal with the violent crime that we are having in the community where they reside. So they are afraid to report. We have been talking about this thing for a long time. And now it's very serious, getting out of control. So all the structures will create them for the sake of creating them. As long as our crime intelligence services are not hands-on, I know it happens in the community. You know, maybe it's for another day. That it's better to use those CPS as your crime intelligence services or your source. That will be much easier because they get something. But if it's a CPS that is a violent that is happening there, they will not go there. It's a very serious thing that I think we need to really concentrate on it. You saw the facts last, that they were brought the defense here, the crime went high, and now we're saying, okay, it has gone down with 2 or 3, which is still very high. We need to get the real cause. You can bring the army and everything, but if the criminals are organized and they want to render not only the police but the government unworkable, they kill people in the presence of the defense force. So it's a very serious thing that we need to say that even when the defense is there, why that it goes after the killing that goes after. There's something there that the police are not getting it correct. You'll end up saying, let's bring the state security agents to deal with crime, and which is not their work. We have the CI, crime intelligence, that we have to deal with. That's the violence. 47 people to die. Not to be killed if you are in war. It's very serious. There is something that we're not getting right, that the police can. And this happens in the presence of the South African National Defense Force. So they are not there to do the police work. They are there to protect the police when they do their work. They are the last line of defense. They say, go and do your work, go and search, we'll protect you if anything happens. So it's just like when the minister was explaining the Marikana issue. That they brought the task team first before the crowd controlling police. So that's why we had that you bring people who are armed, like bring the army, and the police will come at the end. So the army they kill, and the police they come. So I'm saying it's maybe for another day. The issue of crime, it's very, very serious. So I take it light, the issue of Joburg, you know? That our police were chased away. They respond, they say no. which is not going to cause another massacre. For me, it's not as a commander. I don't take myself. That means you are not prepared. Your intelligence was not done. Everything you went there is normal. We know that we. In fact, it says what our people are saying. No, these people they come and take our goods and they go and sell them somewhere. Mm. So it tells that they went there as normal. They were not going to get those people we had, but we know that there is something there. So I'm praying for another day. We need to be very hard when we have a meeting with them.
Mr. Chair, I just want to quickly go to this thing of police informers. Seemingly, our informers are not deputies. If they are used. The problem is, you know, as far as I know, each and every police officer must have 2 to 4 police informers.
Right.
But I remember there was a problem with payment. And remember, an informer is, in most cases, one of the persons involved in crime.
Yeah.
So you must be careful when you deal with that. So if you don't pay, there's nothing that you're going to get from that informer. Because he's getting paid double.
Yeah.
Why would you inform me?
If you don't pay him, he's not going to give you any information.
The gang boss is paying more, and if he gets caught,
because I've noticed a person can come here giving you an information that there is a stolen truck that is worth 3 million, and then you want to pay that person 300 rand or 1,500 rand. It's not going to give you the information. I'm just putting an example. Like if a person comes and parks a car, a stolen car in your yard, and then pays you 5,000. And then when you report, you are being paid 1,500. Are you going to report? No. So I think we must look at that. How are they utilizing their informers? Because we don't have intelligence, truly speaking. We don't have. As far as I've noticed, those intelligent police officers are also going around with crime prevention and what of that. That's not supposed to be. An intelligence member we must not know. He is not known to the community. But ours are known to the community. They are doing arrests. When they see, they even know their cars when they go around. Oh, this is what. No, they want information. Once they see you speaking to those people, members of the community, they will come against you. So you are not going to get the information. So the utilizing of police informers and the payment to those people is very crucial. We must just look at it. I know I've been there. If you don't pay, no information. And even if you pay, you pay after 6 months to 12 months. Look, trouble. When you go back, you ask information to that person that you called, and so you will tell them that you don't have time to. And then when you claim for the informant, the question will be, you must motivate, how did you get the information? How did he give you the information? Did he use his transport to go and find that information? Did he use his phone? Did he use a lot of questions must be answered. Whereas all what you want is the information was positive or negative. But there is a lot in that form. That's where we find that police they end up being corrupt. Also in these things of informal.
Okay.
So that's it.
And
the both subs and also defense. They made their presentation so that I can make it easier. But it would be nice as a joint committee can be able to zoom into this. Also appreciating the experience of the honorable member, whole experience of being a police, and then go into that. It will also go into what the honorable president was saying about the what is this? The forum, the police forum. That is another thing that we need to package all of them. So we need to expect some of them that they have their things. Because it can be perfect.
Honorable members, you've noticed that I've given the members chance to speak. Because this workshop is not just about presentation. The police come, they give us thick documents and thick presentations. This is about the committee saying these are the questions we want answered. So can we take note of what the questions are? Honorable Mofokeng has added that we do have a joint committee. Remember, for the opening, I asked which other committees we want to approve. So ours is, I think now we are on more solid ground. We have been here for 2-3 months. We've consolidated the questions which we want to ask. And at the opening, I'm giving members more chance to speak. As we go along, we'll keep it concise and short. So now I'm giving you a chance to speak. Then later on, I'll just give you a chance for inputs. So this is speaking. Later it's inputs.
President, thank you. Now, I just wanted to say I'm not done with an agreement with what has been said. And I'm not going to have a long story now. Fact of the matter, we have the police and they have all these structures, blah, blah, blah. It's not working. The police has got a serious problem with execution. It's all about execution. And you know, with all due respect, and then I'll stop this day. The police don't know how to police the problem. They are not doing the very basic things of policing. And then I stop, we need to have this lesson, we need to get them to understand that the policing again and where the priorities should be. Thank you.
Thank you.
Yes, I won't be able to long after this. Just on the legislation that is going to come our way, that we have to be prepared with, prepared for. I'm worried that the validity criteria will bring all of the legislation from the state government. That's going to cause a little problem. If they bring the, we'll see that the draft criminal law for procedures law, this is an old amendment, and it's a simple amendment that the committee can process with immediately if they bring it. On firearms, there's a major problem on the chair. We're getting mails every single week with a firearm control amendment book, and the fact that the central firearms registry is dysfunctional. It's not working properly. One of the reasons these firearms in the Western Cape found banned into the gang was that those are firearms that the marks of destruction. And subsequently, get up until 2,000 firearms found their way into the hands of gangsters. So there's been a request from the firearm industry that they meet with SAPS and that they work together with SAPS. They took SAPS to court, they won their case, they stopped the amnesty from happening because the minister wanted to have an amnesty last year. Because of that court case, what happened is that SAPS cannot accept firearms until they fix their systems, their firearm registration system. So that is a major problem at the moment. And our firearms is being administered to the SAPS. And so this act, or amendment bill, sorry, ought to remedy that. There's the draft control animals and animal produce bill, that is the old stock theft bill. There's been an increase, it appears, of stock theft in certain provinces. And this act aims to remedy how the departments of police work together with other departments. And this is the big one, the Draft South African Police Service Prevention Bill. I'm not going to speak too much about the Draft Protection of Constitutional Democracy Against Terrorism and Related Matters Bill. Every year, the United Nations sends a list of people that are on terrorist watch lists. Our committee normally processes that on a daily basis through proclamations. It comes here and the committee notes it and approves it. So they will also look at potential amendments to that particular bill, Mr. Chair. Then there's the priority one here is the South African Police Service Amendment Bill. It's a big one, but if this committee can take it and make that its legacy, that this is the committee that would have slayed the dragon and drafted a new police act. The second...
I'm sorry, when the
Chief, you remember they did say that it must still go to cabinet, they got a draft.
Yes, but they didn't even have it on their list.
I'm suggesting that the committee considers placing pressure on the secretariat and the ministry to make sure that this act happens. Otherwise, nothing is going to happen in terms. It will retain the same format, the same features, and then we're still not going to be effective as a department to fight crime. And
we draft a letter in that regard.
We could check.
Yes, we can't just talk. We are talking now. I don't think we should be making inputs. We want follow-up. We said this, actually. We don't need to say over and over. We said this during the portfolio committee on the budget. Now we want to take it up. We are now no longer having talk shops. And we don't talk shops. Okay? Everything that we say we're going to do, I want a report on. Do the honorable members agree?
I think the program shows that they are coming tomorrow on the 7th. I think we need to actually look into what they are going to be presenting. But the question that they asked is in the budget about their public participation. Mm-hmm. Apparently, not everybody in the department wants to be part of the public participation. It's for others, and therefore, they are not effective. So there are rules that I think sectors to make their results. They were supposed to be somewhere, and certain sector came and the others are there, and I was just at the third one. And then I left, so we'll meet them. So we must find out what is happening in there. It's not effective.
That is why I'm saying, can we then tomorrow? We're listing all our items today. Yes, I'm letting people talk. We're listing our items when they come. We are ready to fire. We are saying, we told you we want this during the budget speech. Don't come and give us presentations. We are not looking for presentations. We are looking for action. This is not a repeat solution. We are not looking for a repeat of the budget speech. Please, people, if I get a repeat of the budget speech, I'm going to be very annoyed. Okay?
Thank you, Chief.
So can you warn them that I do not want this presentation? I've seen presentations. I see here. You give me a file here, input file, and you look at, I look at these presentations. You email it to us. It's a cut and paste. It's a cut and paste. Some of the slides will not even change. No, it's a cut and paste. I can tell you. I put what they're giving us now. This one that you come here by iPad in particular. iPad has just done a cut and paste as if we don't have a memory of what they gave us the last time. They have given us an organizational structure again. We saw that. All right, the honorable member apologized. They had to go to a meeting.
sorry?
The chair.
Don't think it's here. We know you're politicians. Don't think it's the chair.
My absolute.
Please come.
I looked at, so you looked at this presentation. Please come and try to
why you said the last time? They know you that well.
Now the doctors are doing the presentation. They're not responding to the question we asked. Morning, you got your presentation.
We
wanted the follow up. Yes. All right. So can you continue?
Thank you, Chair.
Can you just
pass this
on
to
check my
clock? Okay, Chair.
So
what is
chairing it?
Yeah. Thanks. We have the Second-Hand Goods Amendment Bill and the Draft Independent Police Investigator Exit Amendment Bill. We processed the IPED Bill as a committee, and it's gone to the NGOP. I think it got stuck in the NCOP towards the end of last year because there was a constitutional court deadline which had to be satisfied. Our legal services in Parliament had applied for an extension to the constitutional court in order to process that particular bill and for confirmation of the late tabling. And we awaited the outcome of that application achievement. Then there's the Draft Civilian Secretariat for Police Bill. One of the big issues, I think, in this bill that they want to remedy is in the provinces, the secretaries are not functioning and they're not aligned. And I think that this is the intention, to make all the departments in all the provinces function in the same way. If you remember, in some provinces we have state liaisons. You have provincial secretariats, others you have the Department of Community Safety and so forth. So I think if they do an amendment, it's probably going to be to align it so that the departments in all the provinces can function together, because that is one of the big gaps.
Can you maybe give us a briefing on the draft second sentence as an amendment? Because I know that after nothing happening from Parliament to province and to local, because at local there couldn't be any bylaws in terms of the second-hand business because it landed somewhere. But now when we say we amend, I wish to know more about it because it failed on the regional.
Honourable, through you, Chair, we are not sure the exact nature of the amendments that they're going to bring, if it's a full review or not. But at this stage, it looks like it's going to be an amendment, and I think it is a relationship as to, at local government level, who handles what in terms of the municipal police and the South African Police Service. The amendment could be in the regulations. So we don't know if it's going to be a full review of the Second-Hand Goods Act. If they must indicate that to the committee, because I mean practice has shown something completely different in the way that they've implemented that particular bill. May I move on, Jean?
Thanks.
I want to move a bit faster because our research must also. I thought I just put the budgets for the different departments there so that we familiarize ourselves with what the budget is for the years in the Minister of Expenditure framework, and there we have the. As I did for the police, civilian secretariat, 146 million, and it goes down for 1920 to 144 million, and goes up in the outer years to 157 million and 167 million in 2021-2022. The staff complement in terms of the expenditure framework there is 158 for 2018-19, and it goes up to 160 in 2021. One of the issues for the civilian secretary and for IPED is the filling of vacancies, that they must fill the outstanding vacancies on the staff establishment. Some of the issues in the CP, the Civilian Secretariat, Honourable Chair and members, is the legislation, which appears to be that there's going to be bottlenecks if we don't push them to bring it up a bit sooner. Then there's the Auditor General recommendations, which the Auditor General has made for the Civilian Secretariat, which cuts across all the departments in the civil service. And it's the third issue is the issue of them managing their budget, that they don't have to send money back to the fiscus. They have responsibility for the DVCI judge and the DNA board, and there were problems in the last year how that is managed. There were complaints from the DNA board and the DPCI judge that they don't have the necessary resources to function optimally. There is a question, the staff establishment of the secretariat has grown. They share offices at Wachthuis with the police, they have an Urcom building, and the accommodation is too small, they ought to move, so that's an issue that's coming up. The big issue for our committee is the community police forums, the policy and the implementation of it, and the stipends that the chairs indicated, and community safety forums, because they're the custodian of the CPF and CSF. And they are also talking about a new organizational structure. This committee must be appraised of their structure before they approve it, so that we, as a committee, approve the new structure as well. Chair, I put also budget issues here. If you look at the amounts, 330 million in 2018-19, and it grows to 381 million in 2021-2022. We have the staff complement growing from, or being reduced from 1,863 in 2018 to 1,705 in 2021-2022. Compensation of employees in National Treasury has been cut in all departments. The police are losing 1,000 people, and so it will be with the other departments as well.
But how is the police losing 1,000 people when they committed to selling attitudes?
Honourable Chief, we have taken note of that because when the budget was produced, they indicated they, in fact last year, that they will lose in the outer years 1,000 members per year, that they should reduce it in order to make their compensation of employees' budget work for the department. Now, that 1,000 members is usually lost through what's called natural attrition,
yeah,
where members resign, they take the retirement, and it creates vacancies on the staff establishment. But the minister has now indicated that he's not satisfied with that, and he's made a special application to Treasury to consider increasing the staff complement. And that is related to the police, to the police civilian ratio. And he wants to bring it in line with the, what he calls the United Nations ratios. If I may?
But if they, you see there's no synergy and sense in what they are saying. They're supposed to reduce their staff by 1,000. And this is, we understand it's going to happen through natural attrition, early retirement, whatever. But if they must reduce, and they also want to increase, which means they're going to replace.
They, if you remember, the minister reported and the commissioner reported when they met this committee that they want to do that. They will replace the people that they lose through natural attrition. However, they were not satisfied with the fact that they have to lose the people. They want to increase the numbers of police officers. So I don't know how Treasury, they have to have approval of the Treasury Chair, and I'm not sure Treasury will make that approval or give them
that. But didn't the President also say that
he did make that particular commitment. So Treasury can make a special allocation. If they make a special allocation, then SAPS will be able to, on the budget structure, increase the compensation for employees. Are there people to add anything, Nicolette? Do you want to add anything to that? Okay. Can we move on? Some of the key issues in Piper is the audit's general recommendations and the implementation of those recommendations. There is the question of leadership, and the committee will probably talk about the process later this afternoon, about the appointment of the permanent executive director. Then the prioritization of cases that IFED deals with, because the caseload has been growing. Then there's the ICT infrastructure of IFED and the ICT infrastructure that they use. There's also the question of the City Forum building, the current building that they're in. I think their lease is expiring and they need to find other accommodation as IFED. But there's a dispute with the owner about whether in fact IFED is still committed to the an additional number of years. There's case backlogs in IFED, and there's this big thing about SEPs taking the IFED seriously and reporting incidents of torture, of police officers, of assault. How SEPs reports to IFED if there's a protocol for it. There are regulations that within a particular amount of time in IFED, if they, somebody died as a result of police action, they have to report to IFED almost immediately. And what's happening currently, we've discovered that the police, if IFED releases a report after it's conducted an investigation against the police officer, the police re-investigate them. Same case. So what they're doing is that they're not trusting the IFED reports and recommendations. And it's something that the committee must deal with, because that's what's causing the dispute between IFED and SEPs.
When we discuss with them, we remember that there has not been stability in the police service, especially at the senior level, regarding the IPs. And there's been IPs against the police, they even went to court. I think it is one.
Different
things. So maybe we need to get an understanding. Because if the IP does not work, then why do we have it? And then they're saying that the police will also do the same thing if the IP are existing. Reinvestigate. What we need to have is a stability within the IP and the police. You know, that, I think, how do I put it? The IP must not also fear. You know, I think they've been doing their work. Very senior people, and that's where the problem is. Where you find that the police and the
close
ranks against the IPs. And that's where the problem is. we discuss it. There's nowhere you would have progress in dealing with issues of especially through corruption in the police services. If the IPs is impeded from doing its work. You remember the cases of the previous commissioner, the acting commissioner? Because of the and the IPs. And they end up using private investigators. Which I don't really support. But if IP is competent to investigate itself, why does it go out and use O'Sullivan to get information? He might be dangerous for the stability of the subs. He might have his own grudges with other people, and then he brings them into IP. And then that's why we have that problem. I think we, I don't know the legal implications, are they allowed to use private investigators? If Solomon is against me, you go and get something against me and give it to IPIT. And IPIT will come and bring it to the police. So I'm saying that the stability for me is very important. You remember, we have passed that one, even the crime intelligence, you had the same thing, where there was instability. And I don't think it has also been finalized. You know that there was this case issue. Now that there must be an appointment of the head.
Provincial commissioner.
Provincial commissioner. That is that. So if there are factions within the police themselves, this thing of Western Cape, we must not forget about it. If your serious crime intelligence is fighting, if the police among themselves, this one must come, this one must not come. And there's that battle. So what are they fighting for? So I think for another day, it's likely that we will have to sit down with them, that we will receive the HRSS and the report, we know the budget, everything. But now we need action.
Could I just make this call in concrete? This is a workshop. This is a workshop. This is not a portfolio committee meeting. So in a workshop, we are supposed to be able to brainstorm. We're supposed to be able to give our concerns, and we are supposed to speak our minds in terms of what we can say in the portfolio committee meeting. That is why you don't have staff, you don't have media and things. But if we're going to have workshops where the department comes here and give us presentations as if it is business as usual, these questions that you are having will not be addressed.
Yes.
So somehow there has to be a shift between what they give us. What they give us is like what they want us to hear. Now, if you listen to their presentations and our speeches, it's like there was a presentation and there were speeches, and I asked myself, did these people listen to the members? Could you take some of those presentations as input for your speeches? All right. Please, Shabeli, you wanted to say? Honorable Member,
I wanted to find out about the enlistment in the IPT. Because seemingly those people are recruiting from the police. Those members of the IPT, they are being, most of them are recruiting from the SAPS. So that's where I want to find out.
They're being recycled.
Where, yes. How are they? Are these people going to function to be productive? If you see from the police to the IPT, and tomorrow here is a complaint against
your friend,
my superior on the other side, where we were in good terms, so to say, and then I was investigating. I just want to find out quickly there, how do we go, because most of the members I picked are from SAPS, am I wrong, right? So, meaning that I picked, it's a duplicate of SAPS. So is it going to be productive?
We shouldn't see it as a duplication. IPED is meant to be independent. It's meant to exercise oversight over police, particularly in the comes to police criminality. Now, that is a very, very important thing, and you also need investigative skills to investigate the police. And I think the legislation of the civilian secretary says that the secretary of police cannot be a former police officer. But IPED legislation doesn't say that. The IPED Act doesn't preclude former members of the police being members of IPED. And the function is completely different of IPED. I think what the committee must just note when and I want to move away from your questions, Shibini, is the oversight function has already been weakened. If you look at how in the weekend papers they advertised the executive director for IPED, they used the South African Police Service logo to advertise it. Mm. It cannot be that the police advertise for a head of IPED. It must be the independent police investigative director. I think Nicolette has made a copy of that somewhere in the papers. But you cannot let the police, that this was the fight all the years, and I think that's your question really, that the police oversee their own investigation. Mm. They have to be independent. And so when I looked at the advert, I thought this can't be that the IPED and a secretary post is advertised under the SAPS logo.
There's something
wrong.
I think what is maybe, and that you and we will also have to get certainty about that. You know, the question then obviously arises, but has IPED got the ability, you know what I mean, in terms of their structure and, you know, how they are to do that? I don't know, maybe that's a problem, you know, they haven't been properly capacitated yet.
But how can you not have capacity to do an advert?
I don't know.
What's
the
out?
You
have
the mere fact that
you're asking. If you have no capacity, how the...
It's
a second advent.
It's a second advent. So there can be a legal
process.
I
looked at the second one. They did put the logo underneath, the IP logo underneath the SAS logo, right at the end of the ad. But you can't have, unless the police minister and ministry, because that's the important thing. Remember, in terms of the act, the police minister must determine his own process before he brings the candidate here or nominates a candidate to the committee.
Yeah.
Why I'm concerned is because there's already a legal process challenging
exactly.
The appointment of the IPED agent. Mm. So now that's the same legal team will challenge this effort.
Mm.
And we know the previous incumbent, the previous incumbent is very awake. You said again as a reason why we cannot appoint and just position has been vacant. Come on, you use this in court. You will use it and win this case. And set us back again.
Yeah, Chair, I think maybe we shouldn't go into the details.
No. We're not going into the details.
Yeah.
I mean, we're not going into the details.
We could use it.
Let us then prevent it by alerting the minister, even if it means I'm going to write a letter. Let us write a letter and alert. Because you gave me a mandate to follow up on the appointment of the equity. Now this is in line with that. Please, it's in line. It's just because we do not want, because that process is going to come to us. If now already we can see that this thing is not properly processed, by the time it comes to us, we already know point A is wrong. So we can just say to the minister, we're concerned about the process and that the honourable members have highlighted that this is and attach a copy of it. Please, I no longer want complaints. Can the staff understand? I'm tired of complaints because we are going to sit with the outcome. So why will we raise a complaint when we know it's going to lead to a headache for us? Yes. And we say, yes, let's be proactive. And send the minister and say we are concerned about this.
Okay.
Okay.
I'm going to run through it pretty fast. The private security industry regulatory authorities. See, those are the budgets that they provided for the 2017-2018. 225 million in that year, up to 308 million in 2020, which is out years of the FTSF. Their staff complement is moving from 241 to 277. Some of the key issues in CBIT also findings of the Auditor General, their governance and governance structure. The revenue collection is a big issue. They've been taken to court by some of the security operators in the way that they collect revenues and debt collection. Then there's the issue of industry training. For instance, one of the issues that has arisen when private security people were used to police the campuses in the Fees Must Fall protest, whether in fact they were trained in public order policing or not. So that's become an issue for the training of security guards and what firearms they're allowed to use. And what, because they don't have the public order police training. Then there's the outstanding matter of the CIRA bill. That bill was finalized by the previous committee, the fourth parliament. It's gone to the president for assent, and one of the big fights around that particular bill is the ownership of the industry. There's a provision, I think it's clause 20, that states that 51% of the private security industry must be in South African hands. Most of the big security companies are owned by foreigners. And so that's caused huge fights over the years, and the bill is not finalized yet.
Again, I do not want to make statements. The president has a parliamentary officer. Do we engage with the parliamentary officer? How do we get this matter sorted out or prioritized? Is on the president's desk right now.
Yes, Chief.
Yes, but if it's on the desk, there's a correspondence back home. Isn't it time that we write to the parliamentary officer?
And Chief, if I may. The Secretary has indicated that they are currently in discussions with Cabinet whether to reintroduce the bill at the current stand, or whether to take it back to public comment
for consultation,
or what they must actually do with it, because in its current form, it's very unlikely that it will be signed. I know Durko has raised significant concerns about international relations, so they are also working on this bill currently. So we could. And we should engage with the presidency or the secretariat to.
Can we please? I do not want complaints out of this workshop. Don't tell me about things that were not done. There's been years and years. So my legacy will again be that another year is passed, another year is passed. So this committee will hear the same story. Then what have you done? I don't want to hear presentation. Please don't give me presentation today. Tell me what am I going to do. Tell the committee what are we going to do. So if this is a bill, you say it's with the president, what are we going to do? Do I have the right to write to Corno? Okay? Then write a letter to Corno.
Can I suggest that they to write the letter?
Yeah.
But you know, whatever we feel that we are not going to do certain studies must be listed and voted, because we cannot leave something of the fourth parliament in the sixth parliament, and but they are proven in the industry and they are growing. So I feel that it's an urgent matter, because even in the court for very good during the budget, we discuss some of the serious issues that the challenge. It's not only about the industry inside of the working people, but it's also inside also the board, how it was constituted, because it's majority and they have one director and a managing director, and the rest of the people is also white. And that's why
yes.
Also six main things in it, I think for me it's agents, and maybe you are limited by us to do that.
Yes. Where is the representative of the minister's office?
Sure, I think she just stepped out. She was there now. Oh, sorry, it's the DM.
That's the DM's person.
Yeah.
So where is the minister's person? The minister's person is supposed to pick up these things. We don't want to put everything in writing to the minister's person.
She must have that.
Yes.
Through you, I think this issue of the therapy, bureaucrat, we don't want presentations and presentations. This is a sixth now.
The fourth one had it. The first one had it. Now the sixth one is also getting
presented. Now I hear that now it is back to cabinet. I don't know. Because parliament processed this was the parliament. And it went up to the table of the president. President.
Now the third president.
Yeah.
The third term of a president.
Yeah. And that bill has been there. And we have been saying that we know the reason of why this thing is being fought so hard, including news, big legal companies. And that is why they're now even writing the issue of the international relations, which has got nothing to do with our own policies as a country. And that's why I'm saying it is only in this country where we can be told that the security companies that are coming from outside, they are the ones that are protecting our national people. So this bill, it was fought very strongly, and money was used in this bill not to succeed. That is why it is taken forth. There's no one going to put its signature at there. And I mean, they have checked legal implications. There are no legal implications here. I mean, if you bring your company here, simple thing, the basics, you bring your company here, its security above all. It must be vetted first that it can do business here. It does not just come and just do business, land and do business. And then what we are saying, we've got our own security companies here. If you want to come and invest in South Africa, no problem. But on this side of security, because we've got so many security companies that have been vetted here in South Africa, how then do you fight against the percentage? If we say South African companies must be 51% owners of that company and get 49%. That's the crux of the matter. So I don't understand the international relations. Britain will say no, we can't do business. We can't do business with you when we have competent South African companies that can do the same way. You know, I was saying in the last meeting when I was in the defense test, during the apartheid year, when they were faced with sanctions, the South African government and the South African National Defense Force, including the police, managed to sustain themselves. Sustaining themselves is that they developed their own systems
and capacity.
And the best capacity. That is why we have CSIR. that has got bad skills, but you're not using them. Every security thing that we want to use, we get from foreigners, either Israel or Britain or whatever else. So the issue, if we are not going to be strong as this portfolio committee and the whole country, that the president can be afraid to sign something that meets the legal requirement. Legally, if it is correct, why it should not be signed. For the fact, we know that as a cluster of security here, fortunately I used to serve into that cluster, this issue has been there, and we've been asking why it is not being signed. So you may find the poor police people here, the civilians, over the Sierra, they're not involved in this thing, they've done their work. It's just there that correct advice and maybe speak to
what?
Golden Office. We want to know as a portfolio committee why is this thing not ascended.
I think sometimes delays suit certain people.
Yes.
Because while there is a delay, they can continue their business with impunity.
Yes.
And no one has an interest in finalizing this. So very clear, if this is the third, I was a minister for, in the, if this is the third term, then for the first time this was it. I've never heard of this before, Kevin.
That's long past.
Yes, no, that first term is long past. We're talking about 2009.
Yeah.
Sure. We're talking about 10 years ago. I was in cabinet
2009. Yeah.
So, this is now 10 years that this thing is on the page.
Decade.
It's longer than 10 years.
Yes, when Steve Chetty was here, this issue was raised.
Yes.
Oh, if you remember, the.
Yes,
but it wasn't raised in this form, but it was raised, and it caused a big fight. You see, Honorable Chair, members, there's vested interest in the security industry. Yeah. Foreigners are saying that that they have a stake in these companies. If South Africa moves and makes it 51%, they will perceive this, and they will lose all their jobs. The 450,000 people that they employ, unless we find our own people to buy their shares and so forth. So then they say it's also unconstitutional because we deprive them of income. So I'm throwing that out because those are some of the debates that I can remember from when we had the discussions. We had embassies making contact with the chairperson and placing the committee under pressure.
Yeah.
It was really bad. But it's good. We'll follow the advice that you followed up
now,
and take it out.
Please do.
Now, honorable members and staff, don't give us stories. Staff can't give us stories. Just tell us, are we going to do this vote or are we not going to do the vote?
Okay.
Yes. Do we have to do the vote? Is the president wanting us to do the vote? All right. That bill I haven't been seeing some political party having a mandate to do it
before 2001. I was doing the constitution, so I don't even know the date.
Yes. So can we decide if, don't put it, you see the problem was, every time we put it there, it will look as one of our outcomes, which we have not met. You see, so can, why sitting there, we are going to repeat this conversation and repeat this conversation and repeat this presentation. So can I have that either as it is going to happen or it is not going to happen?
Yeah.
So that in this parliament there's a decision taken, it's not going to happen, so remove it. It is going to happen, bite the bullet.
Yeah.
But yes, but can we get a mandate if it is going to happen from the minister side? If the minister, you find that the minister is not even interested in pushing it. So we are getting indication from the minister, is it going to happen or is it not going to happen? If it is not going to happen,
which means it's one of those that you flex.
Yes.
As most important things going to the negative.
Yes.
Because what the Honorable Mapati was saying,
yeah,
is very important because the Chinese moved with us,
yes,
from the challenges of it. But one of the loopholes, if you can remember, it was party participation.
Yes.
And until one grouping took parliament in Gauteng to legislature to court about public participation, nobody was wide awake. It missed the public participation process,
yes,
field. But so the power of the committee is with the public participation. Because once public is behind us, nobody can do anything.
That's
whether it's money or what, they will be overruled by it. Even in court, they'll think that your citizens first. So it fails the test. So I wish that we push it,
you are correct,
and we're so good that people that have been in the cluster also, the background of it, and also what we remember that happened. Let us fight the good bullet.
Let us know. Let us know. If we must start with public participation, then we know. But we can't start with public participation if the department and the ministry doesn't want it. Don't tell me it's a thing by the president. Tell me how we're going to do it now.
Okay. I'm going to tell the minister one of the it is not available in the police. You know, and it doesn't want to sit in the president.
Can we put that on the study group when we meet with the minister?
Yes.
Can we make who's taking the notes for the study group?
Yeah,
okay. Yes. Yeah. Anything else? Could we just understand it now? Let us not rush to make a decision. Because this is part of the core business of this. We are deciding our core business. We are deciding our key priorities. So as we go along, we can take off half of these items. Half of these items, we can take them off. As long as we have, as a committee, as we live here today, we have an understanding of our core business and the joint action we want to take. So if we jointly decide it's feasible, you understand, and we want clarity, then that is one of our core issues that we want resolved. So now, Honorable Mofokeng, you are saying this whole matter on firearms. The central firearms registry, the firearms industry, that then is also part of our core business, the priorities that we want. If it means after today, we all have our priorities straight, then half of these presentations become unnecessary.
Yeah.
So don't worry about time. Okay, please don't worry about time. I'm not worried. If I have my priorities by 12 o'clock, it's now 2 minutes past 12. To 12. There's no need for me to listen to presentations. We have our priorities. So, Honorable Mofokeng, when I leave, I want priorities. We're going to work on it. It will then say, do we need meetings with, you said, we need meetings with intelligence. Those are our priorities. And what more do we want? Okay. Honorable.
Chair, if I want to get an understanding. The firearms bill, just correct to me. It is not linked to that court case with the FFC. What is that?
Yeah, they were supposed to deliver a firearm incident registration system. If I'm correct, I think it is linked to it. And Nicolette, you can just confirm with me, but it's certainly linked. Remember, they indicated that they will switch off the SAP systems.
Yes.
And then CITA became involved, the State Information Technology Agency. And then SAP decided, no, they're not going to work with FDA, because if they switch off the crime incident registration system and the firearm registration system, then there was going to be a problem. So it is linked, Honorable Passer. And what I think members must do when SAP comes tomorrow is to raise this issue very, very, very strongly, chairperson, because it can't continue this way, that the firearm owners are not getting any joy, the sport shooters are not getting any joy, and the proposals for amendment, which I think there's a task team that was appointed by the minister working on it, when they come with that particular amendment, then for a new firearms act or amendment, the minister wants to do an amnesty. But there's a court case that's cutting their hands off at the moment. And he's announced that he's going to do another amnesty now in September, if you remember. He said that he wants to do an amnesty. So there are legal impediments that they tie each other into court cases all the time. The firearms industry and the SAPs. And it's not the whole of SAPs. It's just the people managing this Firearms Amendment Act. And that has to be sorted out, because we're in limbo at the moment.
I'm not summarizing it yet. Could we take it the other way around? Out of today's meeting, please, the secretary, can you please, if it means me writing a letter signing today, to say these are the matters which have been raised in your presentation, can you respond to 1, 2, 3, 4, 5? So that they do not give us a presentation tomorrow, which is wasting our time. Even if it is not a PowerPoint presentation, these PowerPoint presentations, I can tell you, they are already wasting my time. We are going to sit and listen to presentations. They don't need to come with presentations. We want answers. And we want answers on 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Send them those things. This is what we want to know. We want to know where this is about. We want to know, give us the solutions here. Where is the firearms application? What about the amnesty? Give them a list of all these answers we want. We're not going to repeat ourselves tomorrow. Don't tell us, Doc, that we must ask them tomorrow. Ask them today to come and tell us tomorrow.
Yes.
Don't you tell us we must ask them tomorrow. I'm asking them today. They're coming to waste my time tomorrow.
And so the maybe for also our empowerment branch, and also can forward us the firearm bill.
Yes.
And then also with all the challenges that they're coming in court.
Yes.
Because we are now aware that everybody wants to call to close the whole process. I mean, let's see what happens now in the
case.
Some continue because Jiva has been support.
Yes.
It has called the whole process. And on the other side, they're supposed to close it. So I was in that meeting this morning, and we knew that it's going to hold us. All these things. So we must get that information. It helps us. And actually, it was a good thing that the Honorable Mapaso reminded us of that.
Yeah.
There were many challenges.
Yes. Honorable Mapaso, do you arrive this idea? We're not asking them tomorrow. They must come and tell us tomorrow.
Yeah, solution.
Yes.
I just wanted to build an understanding so that I'm also can articulate this way. As you are saying, doctor is linked to that contract with them. Because the police were saying they are prepared to settle with the company, so that they can get the access to that thing. But CETA treasurer, the
law,
does not want to.
CETA controls all the ICT infrastructure in the country. And if you remember, the minister said that he wants to move away from CETA because and then there was going to be blood on the floor. So that's the problem. It's a legal impediment because CETA, we can't do anything without CETA. And for SAPS to get out of the memorandum, I'm not sure which ministry they report on post. It's communication, I think.
Yeah.
It could be communication chief. State Information Technology Agency.
Yeah, should be.
Should be, because it's communication.
But so, how the minister also raised it? Mm. He raised it when he was at the portfolio committee. Mm. So, we don't want to hear it again. It was already raised. So, in terms of all of these things, can we then get either we're going to ask the minister or we're going to ask the chair of that portfolio committee? I don't want to hear the same thing over and over again.
So speak to the today, chief.
Yes. Can we then ask, if me, then I must write a letter to the portfolio chair of communications to say these are our concerns. Can it be agreed? We write to the minister, these are our concerns. I don't talk. I put things in writing. And then I will send you another letter in a month's time to say, I still haven't received my response.
Yeah.
I'm not going to sit here in 5 years' time and say, I heard this is my legacy, still outstanding. No.
You're
I was the chair. You'll all be part of your own legacy.
Yeah.
You see, but they won't mention the names of the members, they will mention the name of the chair. On your behalf, and I'll come and say, hey, these ones were all part of the Please, can we finish now?
Yes, Chair.
There's a conclusion.
Just very simply, it's huge budgets that you're dealing with as a committee. One must be mindful of that, and there are many challenges in the environment is complex. I've just raised a few of the matters that are strategic issues affecting the department. If the members could read the sector analysis, a document that included there are more issues there. I think it will be really good if the committee prepares for robust engagement with the department as far as monitoring and oversight. And I think we've done well with the rape kits, for instance. We've already taken the first step as a committee. And I think the committee will do well because the staff that's sitting here, we monitor on a regular basis what happens. And we will alert you timeously if matters come up affecting the police. Because I must warn you, Honourable Chair and Honourable Members, things in this portfolio changes overnight. And you've probably seen it already. You're going to get calls all the time from members. The minute the committee grasps the department, people from all over the country will start calling you as the members because they want to make sure that there is delivery of these services. And I think that it's going to be a roller coaster for us. So thank you, Chief.
Yeah, just before we break for tea, I wanted Honourable Member Majozi and Shembeni to be here. But I'm going to come. Honourable what? I'm going to repeat it. So, yes, if they come, if not, I'm going to repeat it in this workshop. There's a number of ways, and I'm going to repeat it. There's ways in which oversight works. Okay? There's ways in which oversight works. The first thing is the department does a presentation, you ask the question, and there is a report. And that report goes to Parliament. Do they respond to it? No. If they did respond to it, then things would not be there for three Parliament. I'm repeating, comrades and honorable members. The way oversight works. First thing is the department does a presentation, you ask questions, I chair the meeting. Those questions go in a report. The report is presented to Parliament. Do they take notice of that report? No. Because that report is the same. Still the same legacy report. So that is the first oversight. You say you must exercise oversight, Doc. Okay. That's your first opportunity. Committee secretary. Okay. The second way in which you exercise oversight is when you escalate it, where the chairperson writes to other committees. Other committees have already written to us to say, we want to know about school safety. We want to know about tourism. So the chair of this committee can write to the chair of another committee. So if there's anything about CERN, I can write to another committee. If there's anything which involves justice, I can write to that committee. That's the second option. The third option is I can write to the minister. That's oversight. The fourth option is you can ask the minister a parliamentary question. So we have power. You can ask the minister a parliamentary question, and that parliamentary question does not just need to come from the opposition. You see, we as a committee have solved the matter of the rape kids. Do you realize this? We solved it. So we put the minister and SAPS under pressure to solve the rape kids. It came from the committee. So if they do not respond, they're going to get parliamentary questions. Let us not wait for the media. Okay. The first one is through the media. We are not, I'm not person, I do not operate through the media. So the media can ask me questions and ask me questions. I wanted this guy, who is our media person, to be here, even if he's Molotwani, to understand. I do not engage the department via the media. If we issue a statement, then they want me to do Skype. Then they want me to do this. I am not competing on media with the minister. The minister's got a spokesperson. We are not. If you members all want to be on media, you are welcome to do so. I am not here to run a campaign against the minister on media. And opposition parties, you can do it. You can go. Do you achieve anything?
No.
Once we've written our statement, we write our statement. If you want me to issue a statement, and I'm raising these 5 points, can we note it as how we are going to do our oversight? Can we all agree this is how we're going to do our oversight? The sixth one is consultation and community participation. Okay, it's what you call it? Public participation. On public participation, I also need you to prioritize and say, who do you want us to listen to? Because I've got a list of requests that I for people who want to come do presentations to the committee. Everybody, we want to present to the committee. We want to meet with the committee from the Human Rights Commission. They want to come, Reverend Chris Nissen. Everybody wants to come and present to the committee. So public participation, that is the sixth area. And seventh to me, I'm going to go. This is my oversight. Seventh is you all belong to your political party. And all your political parties have given you an electoral mandate. Okay? Your electoral mandate is in your elections manifesto.
Yes.
Your elections manifesto is your political mandate when you walk in here. I am not here for the political mandate only of my political party. You have a political mandate and you are judged in your political party through your political mandate. You have your own work. Your work will be looking at your participation in terms of your elections manifesto. We respond to our political parties on the mandate which we have received. Political parties have certain processes. They're going to be in your political party, you'll have processes like our next process is the NGC. In the NGC, we are going to have to give reports. I'm just thinking, I don't know your political processes. We've got a subcommittee in the NEC on security. We have to give reports. The two of us sit on that committee, we've got to give reports. The minister's got to give reports. Okay? Are we all in agreement now? We all politicians. So that this workshop is to say, can we find common ground? Not can we have presentation. Can this committee find common ground with the staff? So that the staff, at the end of the day, you know, you came walking in here, if I am replaced, you have ministered this. Any of us, we are here just on borrowed time from your political party can decide it's a reshuffle, there's a new chair, there's a new member, then it is recorded. Okay, this is what we did. For Sira, this is what we did, this is what we did. It's ministered. Thanks, sir.
Check, just for the last one, that you might add, oversight, this is going to the province.
Oh, sorry, I thought I mentioned that one alright. The oversight visit, okay? You have another one?
No, Kachitana, I think you have hit only one of the stakeholders.
Yes.
Different people sending you requests. I think that as we can, because it really impacts anything to the province. You don't know these people are from which province. So you can have maybe a time when you say that instead of now it's workshop, but we can have a day when we are taking about four stakeholders to come and present, because that's how you minimize onto the issues outside, because nobody just approaches parliament. We must have a time in every maybe 10 that this is a day or 2 days for public participation, you know, that this is there 2 hours or an hour or two or whatever, but they must come and present, and we will remain looking at what has been presented. I think we need to don't overlook things. They are very important that you mention them.
It's a role for public participation.
I'm glad you mentioned that you have
been. Even if we must go to Gauteng and have the public participation, which brings this list of oversight is getting longer. The NCOP. When do we engage with the NCOP?
There's an NCOP that is going to a province now. It's going to Gauteng. And it's actually going to Gauteng. I think it's Gauteng. It's going to meet with the issues, the one of the safety issues of the police.
But why do we must have a joint? Let's check on that.
I'm not sure of the fact, but I heard one of the
NCOPs. Can you see, please?
Yeah, chair, I'll speak to the NCOP.
Yes. It doesn't look good if Parliament goes there twice. Yes.
Yeah. Chair, just the NCOP has twice a year, they've taken Parliament to the people.
Yes.
At once. And then the Parliamentary Oversight Committee of the NCOP, which is the Security and Justice Portfolio Committee. We can do joint stuff with them, we can do joint oversight with them. In fact, the content advisor for their committee had suggested that she would want to attend the meeting that we have with the Defence Force.
Yeah.
But maybe it would be a good thing if that chairperson can also attend that meeting. So maybe I'll request
but
that from her.
Couldn't we invite that chair along to the oversight in the Western Cape?
Yes, chair.
Okay.
I think something that the doctor is very important, bringing the experience from the provinces. When NCOP goes to the provinces,
most of the time they leave the National Assembly members. And you find that they meet with the province, they discuss issues that are still going to go to them, come to you. Mm-hmm. Instead of having even an A with them so that they capture everything. And I think that is where I saw that there was something lacking, but how you raise it now, that please check with them. Because it's not for all of us to be there, but you can send a delegation to say that, as they, because they deal with issues internally on public participation and they go outside to the public. But who answers for that? Because some of the issues are not provincial, actually, mandates, national mandates. They can't answer for the anything. So that's what I thought as one of the lacking things. And what you raise now is very important to tighten up.
Sorry, just to finish with the NCOP, there was also some outstanding matter that was written by the NCOP.
I put both.
Can I write to the chair of the NCOP on that?
Chair, you're free to write. I think, just from my point, what I'm worried about is there's always been an issue, it's a parliamentary thing, between the NCOP and the NA. The NA has always been accused by the NCOP delegates that they're not rubber stamps. You know, we put a process legislation and it's sent to the NCOP, and I'm just sensitive that they don't have issues with us as the committee, the portfolio committee, because we're in the NA.
Who is the chair of that committee?
There's a new chair, I'm not sure what the name is, chair. But we will make contact with her. And she will send you a letter from your side.
Can you see with the chair?
Yeah.
It assists to first speak to the chair.
Yeah.
To say, do you know that this IFAD thing is with you?
Yes.
Okay, so I'll call the chair and say, is this IFAD one of your key priorities? If so, it's okay if I write you a letter. Okay?
I just wanted to suggest something else. You know, when I read through all the documentations that we got now from the First Parliament, I noticed that obviously, you know, that committee went on study tours and stuff, and they made very good suggestions in there. And I was just wondering how many, if any, of the recommendations that they made ended up with the committee. And how many of those stuff that they saw and recommended ended up in the, you know, the policing, you know, the police, you know, changing their ways and improving policing? I was just wondering.
There's also, just before you answer, there's also follow-up of the details.
Yes.
Resolutions that were taken.
Yes.
You'll see that there's a delegation coming from China. And I met the Chinese Consul General with outstanding matters. So on those visits, there's outstanding matters. We had the Kenyan delegation with outstanding matters. Follow up for progress reports and follow up. And implementation. Look like now the red key. There's implementation. We're just saying, did something. There's an achievement. Am I right, Honorable Member Mukherjee? Okay.
This one is linked to questions to the draft
and to the minister
and to the minister
and to the president,
which is the one is who must submit by the 22nd to the draft. So I was saying some of the questions maybe that we might get an answer.
Is that so that we can ask it in public?
Yes. On the 22nd we must submit, which is on Thursday then. And then on the 3rd, I think on the 3rd, they are responding.
Who's responding?
The social security.
Yes, the minister then. Yeah, but we can also give them questions in IT.
Yes.
Can our questions be ready for the 22nd? Honourable members?
Maybe if you ask this question, is there anybody who can also on the record who can be excited that he's going to be available, but research onto the advantage and disadvantages of it? We don't need a repeat that will be standing in court.
And I'm saying this as a critic, because somewhere some doctors are very critical of it. Did it pass the test of the South African Bureau of Standards? And who did it? And then are they sure that it will bring the outcome? So those are things that I think is a question that we need to ask to somebody to help me to create those questions on those things. And I'm saying this as a gender activist. Women there, they will ask me if everybody is going to be allowed to intervene. Are there any clauses that we have to find that there? You know, there are many things. It should not say that a rape case can work for me and for work for you. It might not work for you or for me because I don't know the other medical issues that are with them. So let us be happy with it, but let us probe it so that if it fails, it fails in the hands of the paramedic service that we challenge, but not to be challenged externally. I'm just raising up with that.
You have to ask.
Can I ask?
Yes. You can
ask that. Quickly with the issue of this rape case.
Yes.
I don't know how are they going to do it. If they've got no other company or whatsoever, that's going to be a problem for us because all the police officers must undergo a course to use
directly.
You must be competent. So, meaning the previous case that we used, officers went or undergone training to use these things, they got certificate. Because in court you might be asked, and you will have to produce that certificate that you have done the course, so you did the right procedure according to the so-called strategy. So I'm looking at that once we have a different kit or another company or whatsoever, how is that one going to work? Will we not have now to check now all the police officers again for training? And that is going to cost us.
Chief, principle is the same.
Yes.
It doesn't matter what company provides it, the principle is the same. It's like looking for cocaine.
Yes.
They're having a particular chemical solution.
Yes.
For it to turn a particular color. The principle remains the same. And if there is a fundamental difference in the procedure of applying that red kit, then members will be trained. But it's like getting a different model of a car. The principle of driving the car is exactly the same. And I don't think there will be fundamental differences in the testing. For instance, the buckle swab testing and taking your spit and putting it into one of the kits, for instance, that won't change because you would need your cheeks to be swabbed in the buckle swab. So if there is a fundamental a new innovation, because sometimes innovations do happen, then they will certainly have to train the members. But I don't foresee that they would fundamentally change the process of it. The same.
Okay, but Chair, I do agree. But the other thing, by the way, questions are not for just pain, are also for educating the leadership. That is part of educating because sometimes we bring in, but we fail to get the nation to know what actually is there. But then when the minister or whoever is in charge answers to them, then it clears everybody because that is the only platform where people will remember. I agree with you that let us not leave it out. It's very important. It doesn't matter which way, but they must be posted.
Yeah.
Well, the chair of the Committee on Women and Persons of Disabilities, when they couldn't get all this media engagement with me, they went with her on radio, and I listened to the radio calling, and that's exactly what you say. The public was asking this, also these questions. I listened to the radio.
I've got a question also on Women's Day.
It
was about, do you think this thing with the police is working and all that? Do you think our police are failing us? And there is a thing that we've got a lot, but we are failed sometimes by individuals in the organization.
Okay. So could could we come back to the program? We all have a program in front of us. Could we all have a program in front of us, please? So this one of the, can I have, we've done this one of the policing landscape for extension. We've done most of our committee priorities. You have seen that already. The administrative matters won't take us very long. Can we do that now? Committee administrative secretary, are you ready? Can you do that? On day one, yeah, on the program. It was supposed to be a committee administrative matters from 11:30 to 12. From 11:30 to 12. So I'm saying they must do that now.
Okay. And the research chief, the budget?
Yes, so
okay.
I'm asking them
okay.
that research and policing budget, the legacy report, and the committee priorities be done together after lunch. Do you understand? Because
yes,
we
yes.
have had those discussions.
Yes.
Yeah. Understand.
That we do research,
yeah.
legacy report,
yeah.
and priorities.
Mm-hmm.
After lunch. Are we all?
Yes.
Yeah. We can start with the legacy report. But you will see now a lot of the legacy report issues we have raised already this morning. Okay, so we're not going to discuss it again because I allowed you to raise some of these legacy matters.
Mm.
So when we come back, you can do all these presentations now. One, two, three. I'm not taking a lot of questions. Now I'm allowing the administrative matters. Then we go to lunch. Then we take an hour for that or two, and then we do the IPATEN, because even here by the appointment of the IPATEN, we have already started that discussion as well. Okay. Are we in agreement that the program be dealt with in this way?
Yes.
You in agreement? Thank you, honorable members. So we'll take the administrative matters now. Who is doing that presentation?
We'll be putting it together.
All right, wonderful.
Thank you very much, Chairperson. I think more than anything is just to emphasize some of the issues that were already raised in the induction of members, so that members know exactly what is expected of them. For instance, we.
not a file. This is just a box of documents. It's a box of documents with my name on it. Since when? How long have you been doing this job?
Very long.
Everything in this committee is about fourth administration. He's also here since the fourth administration. Continue from the fourth administration. There's a string of days of our lives on TV to watch it. It's also from the fourth administration. These documents come from the old time. It's the same file.
Yeah.
But there's an incompetence and profession. You can't be coming around to show me the way the time. I just be positive. But the way you've made it, look here now. How do we see tomorrow? What is here? How you must start thinking now again tomorrow, as if we are illiterate here, you know? Common sense, that's how a document is prepared. Please, I don't fight your stuff, but if it makes my meeting difficult, then I fight. Continue, please.
The first item is members' attendance of committee meetings. I just want to emphasize that members should always be present at the meetings of the committee, and it is very important that members sign the register on a daily basis. And if members are unable to attend, members must write to the committee secretary to indicate their apologies so that it can be recorded, and that apology will be actually read out in the meeting. And also, it's important to note to members that the register in the end, there is a master register that will be generated based on the daily register for all the registers that are signed in committee meetings. So it is important that the register is signed, because that master register will actually indicate for the whole year now that members so and so attended so many meetings. And if a member maybe was not able to sign on the day, you can indicate that I did not sign anything that was right on the register. That member so and so was present but did not sign, so that you can be able to see it in the master register at the end of the day. And then also the chairperson of course will table the apology during the meeting, and each committee, the other important thing is that each committee is allocated a meeting slot once a week. But of course, because of the work that the committees do, sometimes it becomes important for the committee to meet more than once a week. That is possible, and if the committee would like to meet more than once a week, then we will have to actually seek approval from the House Chairperson, that is Mr. Foley, and then that approval is granted, and then the committee will meet. Like for instance, this week, the committee is meeting over a number of days, not just once, and we have received approval, we were granted approval to meet over 2 days. So that is also important. And the other issue is the issue of quorum and decisions in the committee. It's important to know that the committee has 11 members that are said to be full members of the committee, but they are also alternate members. And when we say there should be a quorum in the committee, we are based on the 11 members of the committee. So a committee at all times requires at least one third of members to be present for it to conduct any business. So which means at any given time during a meeting, there must be at least 4 members of the committee in order for the meeting to continue. And that meeting will not be taking any decisions. So it will not be there won't be any questions that will be voted on. Because if there has to be a vote, then it means the committee must have a quorum meeting of 51. So that there has to be 6 members. So for the 4 members, it's only when the committee starts meeting, there should be only 4 members. And if that number is not there, the chairperson can suspend the business or the chairperson can actually adjourn the meeting. So it's important that the quorum is met at all times. So that is why at the beginning you said it's important for members to attend committee meetings. A majority of the members, I've already mentioned that, that it should be 6. And when the committee has to decide a question and a quorum in terms of staff rules, 2 of the National Assembly rules is not present, the chairperson may either suspend business until a quorum is present or adjourn the meeting. I've already mentioned that. And then alternate and co-option. Remember, we said there are 11 full members of the committee, and then we also have alternates. That is 4 alternates in our case. The alternates may be appointed for 1 or more specific members of the committee. An alternate acts as a member when the member for which the alternate was appointed, is absent or has vacated office until the vacancy is filled. So the alternate is actually sort of set in for a member of the committee. And I think it's also important to note that when we do oversight visits, with the one of the Western Cape, because it is a local one and we'll be using maybe a cars, it will be easy for all the members who wish to attend. But if we have to go maybe to Gauteng, as the chairperson has proposed, then it would mean it's only the 11 members of the committee, full members of the committee, that would go on oversight. But if one of the members is unable to go and would like an alternate to go on his or her behalf, then he or she must write to the committee secretary and inform us that I will not be available and therefore would like the alternate to go on my behalf. Should I continue?
Yes. Yes. Can I ask a question?
Yes.
Meaning, I cannot be replaced without informing Mr. Samson.
Yes, you have to inform us so that when we apply for that particular chair, we can actually indicate that this is
my don't wake up in the morning and then you're going and you said
no. I know why I'm asking this.
Chairperson may co-opt any other assembly member from the same party to act as a member of the committee until committee member or the alternate member is present. In most cases, this happens when we need a quorum. If we are unable to get a quorum because other members are not present, and therefore the chairperson will co-opt the members. And then Babalo will look at the legislative process.
Okay, members. I'll be focusing on the legislative process, committee oversight, international study top conference, and in terms of the initiation of laws, the bills can be initiated by the members of the executive, by the members in their individual capacity, by the assembly committee. And the last one, the process is committee when we're dealing with the independent body investigation of the electorate to process that bill. This one is the committee. The stages that we usually follow when we're processing the bill. The bill is referred by the executive member, meaning that the minister, to the Speaker of the National Assembly. The Speaker of the National Assembly will refer the bill to the relevant committee for consideration. The committee will receive a briefing by the department on the bill, meaning that the department will introduce the bill. Once we finish that stage, then the committee has to apply to the Office of the House Chairperson to request for permission to advertise for public submission. Then the committee will advertise the bill for public comment. Then after that, the public will submit their comments, and then the committee will receive all the submissions. Once the committee receives all the submissions, the committee will look at all the submissions, and then the content advisor will make the summary of all the submissions that have been received by the committee. And then after, the committee has to sit down and decide on the submissions and inform the public that has submitted the submissions, where to inform them that this will come for an oral presentation. Then we will have the public hearing. So before we have a public, before we have the public hearings, we have to inform the public that has submitted the submissions and inform them in writing that they have to appear before the committee to make the oral presentation. Once we done with the public hearing, we will get the responses to submissions by the department. The committee will deliberate on the bill, taking public submissions and responses into account. And then after, we will deliberate on clause by clause. And then the committee will propose the amendments. And then after the committee proposed amendments, the parliamentary legal advisor will draft a list of amendments that we call it an index. The committee will decide on the amendments, and then that those amendments must be done in an index. The list will be presented to the committee for consideration and adoption. The committee secretary and the legal advisor prepare the bill after the index has been The B version of the bill will be presented for adoption by the committee, and to check if all the proposed amendments are incorporated. Once the amendments are approved to the committee, the members will vote on the bill. The chairperson should table the report on the bill for adoption. Rules allow for majority view to be captured in the report. And then once the report has been adopted, then once the bill has been adopted, the report has to be published in the ETC. Then I will talk about the committee oversight. The committee identifies the province, the area, and institution to be visited during an oversight. The House Chairperson usually indicate on the key focus areas when the oversight work will be taking place, and then the committees decide they want to have the oversight, then the committee can apply for the visit. Then we have to apply for the visit to the House Chairperson. Upon approval by the House Chairperson, the supporting staff should start preparing for the physical arrangements. The committee should inform the relevant stakeholders about the visit. The committee will receive the briefings during the visit. The committee must produce and consider its report on oversight. Then the report must be published on the ATC. The international study tour. If the committee plans to undertake an international study tour, the committee must identify a country to visit, decide on the subject of the visit, apply to the House Chairperson for a planned study tour, check the availability of the hosting parliament. Upon approval, logistical arrangements in consultation with ADEPO have to inform ADEPO that the committee is planning to undertake an oversight visit to this country, and then we have to inform them that we want to visit these certain areas, whatever country that the committee has identified. DECO must be informed of the visit. Research documents are provided to support the committee. the committee must produce and consider its report. When the committee conducts an oversight visit, when the committee comes back, they have to produce their report, and then the report must be published. And then the committee deals with complaints and petitions. The committee receives complaints and petitions from the public and community if they want to complain about anything, about any subject matter. Once the complaint is received, the chairperson should table it before the committee. Then the complaint will be forwarded to the relevant officials in the department who are responsible for the complaint. The committee has to decide whether it wants to invite both parties, meaning that the department or the complainant, to appear before it to discuss the subject matter. The parties should prepare a presentation for the committee. The department should investigate, after the department and the complainant has briefed the committee, then the department should investigate and compile the report on the letter. The report should be made available to the committee and the complainant. Then the last part, sorry, members, I didn't include it in the presentation. I thought about this part when I arrived here, but I will talk about it in the tutorial afternoon. In court, in the court, we dealt with the approval of the appointment of the president. The process of the appointment, the Minister of Police is responsible for facilitating the process. The Minister will advertise the position, conduct the shortlisting, interview, the selection, and then they will appoint the suitable candidate. Once the minister is done with that process, then the minister has to inform the Speaker of the National Assembly and the committee. And then the committee has to arrange a meeting so that the minister can come and inform the minister about the appointment of the candidate. Then the minister will come to the committee and inform the members about the whole process. And then the minister will inform the committee that he has nominated this person. And what does the committee do? The committee will approve the candidate. The committee will decide whether it wants it will approve or disapprove the candidate. But then, in the previous parliament, the committee approved the appointment of the Honorable Mr. McBride. And then once the committee decides, and then once the committee approves the name of the candidate, then we have to prepare a short report that the committee will approve the appointment of the candidate that was nominated by the minister.
I'm taking questions. My question will be on the last one she raised about if it's a recommendation of somebody to be appointed, like in the case of the IP. Is the committee given an opportunity to investigate on that candidate, thorough investigation, not to get the questions later, like the former, the previous one of the CGP, there was no vetting that, you know, they can prepare for themselves. I just want to know that all those will be having the tools to can evaluate that person, not overnight like we are just people. I don't think I'll be party to such a thing. If a person comes in front of us and wants to be my own star.
Okay. Could I just hear quickly? Can we take in all those complaints from the public and community, from all members? Can we hand it, all the complaints, to the secretariat? Okay, can we hand over all the complaints? And then we can decide, but the complainants must receive a response. Have we written responses to those complainants we have?
No, Chair.
Just saying that we've acknowledged your complaints.
Chair, as I informed them that we have forwarded the complaints to them, and we will let them know.
at my level because people send us complaints directly. Mm. Members, just make sure that those complaints are as well as forwarded to you. Okay.
Honourable for King's question.
Yes.
What normally happens is the minister makes his candidate known to the committee, and he normally includes a CV of the individual, and then the committee, when the committee considers that, we have the right to question him. The committee, as far as I know, haven't conducted vetting because we don't have the capacity to do vetting on the candidate. But the minister usually reports if the vetting has been done on the candidate or not. And it is what you need, the committee can then, individual members can then go to the background of that individual before the committee either approves or rejects. The committee can decide to call a special hearing after the minister introduces his candidates or nominees, and then the committee can question or and then make a decision. But remember, in terms of the legislation, the minister, the minister nominates by a process determined by the minister. So he can have his own process in terms of advertising for the post and so forth. In the past, on the chief, we have had civil society groups asking that the appointment of the executive director be done in a similar fashion as the appointment of the head of the NDPP, the National Director of Public Prosecutions. Unfortunately, that request to the committee came after the appointment of the previous incumbent. But still, I can make that available to the committee, because then it means we have to change the legislation. And remember, there was a constitutional court judgment which the committee then complied with. And so if the committee wants to change the process of the appointment of the IPD, it has to change the legislation at the moment.
The outstanding matter on administration is the filing. Who does the filing?
There is a system where all committees are supposed to, all the business of the different committees are actually submitted onto that system, and that system keeps.
Who submits to the system?
It is Mr. Lobby, because he is the one who deals with the
Could I receive a regular report from Mr. Lobby in whether those documents? Because when you come back to court cases and you don't have the files, you'll all be searching for them saying, where's the documents? Okay.
Yes.
Honorable members, can we break for lunch? When we come back after lunch, you know what I want. We're going to do, as we did, one presentation now. You do one presentation. Could we also for tomorrow? All right. For tomorrow, honorable members, from 3 till 5, this member deliberations and committee priorities. We would have had our priorities already. On these SAP's priorities, can you give them our priorities and tell them they must come and give us reports? We want reports, our questions, send them our questions and our comments. And we want reports, not this presentation. I've seen this presentation. I've seen them. The same as you saw. It's exactly as they were.
Not saying anything.
No.
Yes.
Yes.
And there are some contingent persons who you can actually ask the question, how are they going to be?
Yeah.
So this, that, those are the responses that we want.
Yeah.
We don't want a representation of a representation.
They do. Yes. We don't want presentation. We want priorities and how they are going to make them.
Just the chiefest of the EC on the Select Committee on Justice and Security is Shahida Bibi Sheikh. And we'll get you a
telephone. And then also just give you, can we leave this food? We're just going out, we can bring our lunch in late. Isn't the food outside? Where
yes,
are we going to for lunch?
Yes, it is.
The food is outside, we are coming back here. Right?
I
asked you, but you can have the break stop now, you can do your phone call.